All right. So yeah, who has ever waited for a code review and got a bit annoyed because of that? Yeah. So okay, a lot of software developers here that at least review codes. That's nice. Yes. So yeah, at our company, it's always like we try to make it like the same day code reviews, just to not block people. But it's hard to achieve and often it's a pain. So I hope you can help all of us to improve in that regard.
I will do my best.
You will do your best. Okay. So yes, we still have 3 minutes until you start. So you probably can introduce yourself a bit in the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
Because I missed my notes. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's okay.
Please welcome him. Nice.
Can you hear me well? Okay. Yeah, we can start slowly. Yeah, my name is Andriy. I'm originally from Ukraine, but currently living in beautiful city Vienna in Austria. I work at Dynatrace. I did lots of open source. And yeah, I like to do some public talks. And in my free time, I do lots of sport. If you want to discuss it, just find me and we can talk a lot about it. You can find some links about me. And today we will talk about code review. And it's really hard. So it's just not easy. I was a like warm up. I have a few memes for you. So then we can go serious stuff. So yeah, I think the most important superpower, I found this quote of every developer, is complain about code. It's like we all love to do it. So like if you see someone requested code review, you're always like, okay, we can start. But before we go deeper, let's first define what is code review. And code review is a process when code is reviewed by someone. Of course, not the author, but author can also do code review of its own before merging the change into repo. Yeah, it's a very simple definition. Of course, it varies from company to company. And usually code review happens in rounds. Each round is like one complete round trip between author and reviewer. So the author sends changes and the reviewer responds in a written feedback. So that's how it works. In the end, the review ends with a nice, this LGTM, which stands looks good to merge or looks good to me. There is no like final clear definition. Interesting fact that the history about code review started before I was born. And the first code review process started by the Mikhail Pagan. And the term was called inspection, makes sense. But to me, the real code review, like not real, I mean, a personal historical moment became when GitHub announced this pull request term, I would say. Because again, code review is not only a process, it's a combination of the process and tooling behind the process or supporting the process. But okay, why is code review so hard? And like if programmer sends you a change list that they think is awesome and you write them like extensive list of reasons why it's not, so it's very sensitive message to get across, and you can sometimes take it too personal. I have a question to you. How many hours a developer on average spends weekly for code review? Just raise a hand and say, any ideas? 5 minutes? Okay, good. Any other ideas? That's closer. Any other? Okay, so I don't have super fresh statistics, but back then in 2019, GitHub had published this code review time. So I sum up it. So like 56% of developers spend more than 4 hours per week on code review. I personally spend something like it, or sometimes even more. Again, it also depends on your team setup and seniority. Yeah, every pull request sometimes is a difficult conversation, especially if you don't know the person. People love premature optimization. They can suggest you implement Bloomfield or LRU or sets just instead of some basic stuff. And yeah, we all know that it's a root of evil. So sometimes we need to kind of make sure it's just correct. From another side, I saw that people use it as a form of control of or power, which means like team tend to like be very defensive about changes. Sometimes they like force junior developers trying to control them. So it's not super good. And yeah, like there are many other negative sides. So we will try to resolve it in next slides. Also, keep in mind, code review can be done before or after like commit, or how it say. I personally have no lots of experience of post-commit review culture, but you can read it on article below. I usually, and in teams where I work, we do pre-commit. What does it mean? It's like you do it before merging to the branch. So post-commit looks something like it. Again, it's from the article. You can just read it, but visually you can understand that you do it after it's been merged and tests run. It makes sense to automate the process. And of course, let computers do the boring stuff. It will help us as contributors or as reviewers to ignore the whole class of issues, such as like, oh, your imports are ordered incorrectly, naming conventions, you name file differently, or like you have some cosmetic format errors. That's why it's nice if you can do some linters, there are many, rough, black, etc., flake, pylint. So as more linters you can introduce in the process before code review, the easier for reviewers. Same for formatters, this fights against styles. I really like that. I remember when I did lots of Python before black was introduced, and I was a bit jealous that Go has this Go format, automatically format code. And I remember how we fight it with teammates, how to format file. And I mean, it's just, to be honest, a waste of time. So there are many formatters. I just put few if you missed one day. Like another important stuff, automate dependency management. So what we do in our team, like we delegate to dependent bot or renovate. It's like you can make even a talk about it, but the idea is don't do it manually, delegate it, then you can just review it, run through tests and merge it. Same with testing. The rule of thumb that you don't start any review until all tests are passed, linters are green. So just decrease mental effort on reviewer. And you don't need to run it before the review. Another good practice, use code owners. Like code owners is a feature before even GitHub. I saw it in many code review tools. The idea is very simple. Imagine you have a file where you can define who is on which, if project is big, subpart of the project. Then when you create a pull request or change request, whatever you call it, it will trigger review like, yeah, I have more complicated example. it will trigger related teams, like Airflow has like different groups. So if you touch something, this person will be notified. And yeah, it's very useful, I would say. You don't need to find manually who you should like ask review. Especially, I think it's very important for big open source projects where you don't know who you should ping. Yeah, as I mentioned, before era of formatters, there was fight about styling. So, and even today, if you use formatting, I still believe you should introduce style guide to your team, because sometimes not the best like idea, but what is works is like, can be written in style guide. And if team is big enough, you can always improve it and you can always use it. There are three types of adoption style guides. Like, you can adopt existing style guide, which makes sense. You can also do create your own or incrementally. It's a bit more work. And what I prefer, it's more like combined approach. So we rely on existing style guides and we adopt it, plus we have our own modification. It's also a good idea when you can integrate like this style guide somehow with linter so they work together, because it's sometimes hard to keep track that what's in style guide and what's in PR. Yeah, for Python, I would start with, you can adopt this, their famous Google Python style guide. It's very opinionated, very Google related, but it's a very good starting point. You can use PEP. I mean, it's, I think, yeah, and there's a few others. You can also create your own style guide and keep in mind what to put into this style guide. Is like rules to avoid danger, like enforce best practices and ensure consistency. Yeah, if you really want to create your own style guide, you can also, there are a few chapters in this book you can read. It's how to write your own style guide, how Google did it, and yeah, combined approach is, I think, straightforward. Just based on two. Next, try to avoid silos in your team. What does it mean? It means everybody or everyone should do code review. And in a big organization, sometimes they have a group of gatekeepers that review changes. But I still prefer to ask review from everyone so you can learn from others and you can share knowledge. Okay, before you want to create a code review, there are a few advices I would like to tell you. So first, create nice PR description. So it should include like what you're trying to solve here, and like, I don't know, everything related to your changes, how you can test it, etc. Also keep in mind that you configure something like pre-commit Git hooks, which means you don't push some broken commits and etc. And again, you can save reviewer time by like get notified by broken commits. Of course, make smaller changes. I know it's hard, but carefully scoping each PR is a mastery, because if you see code review like this, sometimes GitHub can't even render it. So what I supposed to do with these changes? I mean, I can't even read it. So if you can split changes into patch sets, or like one commit meaning like doing something important, and then you, based on this commit, you do refactoring or you replace imports. So the author technically need to review first commit carefully and following commits just like as a side effect. And I understand sometimes we can't make a big feature and fit it into patch sets because they're atomic big change, but in this case, as I tell you, try to split it. Another reason why it makes sense, the ability to revert changes. I think it's a very important one. Sometimes we create a PR, it worked, we merge, and we realize on production that some customer, 1% of customer, use very specific Kubernetes cluster, and it failed. So the ability to revert change quickly will save your life, will decrease time of the incident management, etc. Of course, it depends how quick you can release a revert, but it's like a selling point to me to make smaller changes. Another one is try to narrow scope. So for example, you have a task to make a behavior change and you're so excited about new refactoring you want to do or new feature in Python 3.14. So you decided to refactor everything, including your behavior change. So in like this PR, I don't know what's to review because you change lots of lines and I don't understand why you mix inappropriate changes with like refactoring and behavior changes. So if you can narrow scope, and on the next commit, if you still believe you have to do refactoring in this commit, do it like, oh, ideally just do another pull request. As I already mentioned, when you create this PR description title, it doesn't matter is it GitHub or not, but still give a context so the reviewer have enough context to understand your change. You can show some before after differences. It means not code differences, it means behavior differences, like, okay, before it was this and now it works like this. You can do some colored stuff. And what I like is when you have a title validators, or like not title validators, but these prefixes, and then you can also validate that your description is like readable, kind of. And of course, as someone mentioned before, it's hard to get a review in time. So you can use this fancy, please take another look. When you in the final round of code review, communicate your response explicitly. I learned about this when I first contributed to Go language. It was tiny PR first time, and they don't use GitHub, they use Garrett. And I learned this, like, what is PTL? And then I learned, oh, nice, please take another look. And now I use it everywhere. I like it. And GitHub has a feature like re-request review. I think you see it. So it's like a special feature to re-request review. As I told you, review is a multi-round process. And so do it. Regarding code coverage, in our team, we believe that code coverage is important. What I like that when code review tool integrated with code coverage, so I can see, okay, feature makes sense, tests make sense. Is we cover everything? Sometimes you can do it by just introspecting, but it's nice when you see numbers, and especially if someone degrade code coverage, you see it. In our team, it's a reason to reject changes. So if you decrease coverage without any reason, automatic tool will like reject the change. So you need to add tests. There are a few exceptions, but overall it works well. It forces everyone to write tests. Okay, now we discuss author routine. Now let's talk a little bit how to not be a bad reviewer, or like what's nice review routine. So what it should include? First and obvious for me, it should like have like examples. Sometimes when you're like, okay, can we simplify this? And I mean, as an author, it's already simple enough. Come on, it's like just a loop. But imagine that your colleague is not familiar with some advanced least comprehension feature of Python. And I send him this bad example, and he like, what should I do? Like, but better if you like suggest a change, which is also a nice feature, which includes, it exists in GitHub, but you can do it without this feature. You can just send a patch, kind of preview of the patch or diff. So you're going to say, can we simplify it using comprehension list? And here's the example. And he will be much happier to receive a note like this, because he understands what you want, and your feedback is very constructive because you demonstrate the example. Even then, if like he's a little bit against least comprehensions, like probably many developers can object that reduction code makes it easy to read or debug, but still, your conversation become much better and better than just, I don't understand this. Okay, another few tips. It's mostly my experience, which works well. I know others doing something similar, but doing code review just by reading code on GitHub is very hard. So what we do is sometimes pulling down the branch locally and read it locally in your favorite editor is much easier, and you can play around or like hack it a little bit, like make sure it works. Like you can build project, I don't know, maybe run some functional tests, depends on what you are doing. You can also try to break it. So I call it like more deep code review probably. And the most important, even it's in last item of the list, you have to check that completed work matched the requirements of the task. Because sometimes people tend to implement absolutely different stuff. So you need to figure out, okay, you're doing something different, even if it's written nicely. So after all, the process of this critical review, like something between to be a good cop or bad cop, but still try to be polite. One of my favorite advices is like, never say you. Like, don't review like personality, review the code. Instead of saying, can you rename URL to something more descriptive like link? Yeah, I know it doesn't make any sense, but just example. And when you say, can we rename URL to something more descriptive, person starts believing like not offended. What I learned for all my development career is that some people, they influence a lot by these words, and then they feel a bit like sad. So it's just English, but rephrasing helps a lot. Another one is just you can use passive voice, like you don't need to use you or we. You just say this variable should be renamed to more descriptive like URL, or like what about renaming URL to something more descriptive like link. So here I rephrased, I use passive voice, and I use example. So I don't tell you, I don't tell someone that just it, rename it. I also use example, so he knows what I mean. And this is my favorite one, not like favorite, but just don't use it as a request or like, and like try to not comment, because it's also feel not good. Like, again, if you say like, move the downloader class here, which is okay-ish, but again, if it's just say a little bit more polite, can we move class to separate package? It becomes more nice. Not too much effort, and but faster result. Again, you can suggest changes. So here's a here's a real example from real open source project. I did a code review, and so there are a few techniques combined. So I say it's a nitpick, so like it's not critical comment. I say, okay, probably the feature you don't know, and I suggest a change. So person knows what to do. He has like a one action. So, and if you can provide an evidence why you're suggesting the change, it's even better. Because as I told you before, code review process is when both sides are learning something new or try to negotiate in a final merging state. Also, limit review on similar issues. So you don't need to comment every line which has like a similar problem. You can just comment one, and you can just say, please fix other places. So you don't need to comment every line. And you as an author is responsible to make sure that you fixed everything and not only like this specific comment. So, and also respect the scope of review. So this one is also interesting, because sometimes, okay, someone changed something and you like, okay, you found another bug, but it's unrelated to the change. You either say out of scope, optional, please redo it, or you can create another ticket or whatever. But try to not force someone to refactor unrelated stuff and not make this PR solve different problem. As I told you, this split large reviews, like the more changes reviewers has, as we all know and learned, that we spend too much time. So if I have 5 big PRs to review, the chance I will start reviewing it is very low. So it's in your kind of responsibility to make it smaller. And this one is also kind of nice. So if you sincere price or like show or demonstrate that it's a little bit more emotional, but I learned recently that we, that human beings, we super irrational and very emotional. So if you find something nice in PR, say it like, tip I learned today. This is an elegant solution. And or like refactoring this was a great idea. It will help you to build this nice relationship between you and reviewer. Especially if you do it with someone who you don't know. Again, in open source, sometimes people super rude because they don't know each other, and they like can type whatever they like, and they expect reviewer will read it and do like what they comment to them, which is kind of not true. And few tips for everyone. So we talk about author, we talk about reviewer, and now what relate to both sides. Remember that if you build something, you own it. Always remember it. It's very nice advice I learned in my career. What it means, minimize lag between rounds of review. So if I gave you any feedback, or like you contributed a small change, which I maintain, and I gave you feedback within hours, which is nice, and then you disappeared, and I checked again a few days later, and there's no response. From both sides, it's not acceptable. So what we try to minimize this lag until I'm in context. So I spend an hour, I did review, I have context that what I have just reviewed. So if you fix something and ask re-review, try to do it in one working day if possible. Of course, there are some limitations. Because sometimes two weeks later, someone like magically appears and try to ask review again, and I need another 1 hour to remember what he did, what I suggested he should change, etc. So this healthy code review culture is what we really need. Again, don't review the author, review the code. Remember to keep this etiquette or like quieter tone, let's call it. As I told you, harsh review can hurt. I know people from team who was feeling not good just because review was too harsh. So we need to make this healthy culture. So they're like recap kind of. Remove the person. Meaning, not what you think about. Remove the review the code. Don't review the person. Keep passionate conversations. Yeah, it's just more like repeat myself a few times. I hope you will learn something today. And instead of a conclusion. So respect each other. Try to automate every rule you can. Delegate to computers doing boring stuff. Again, this is an instrument of knowledge sharing. Remember it as well. I learned it like maybe the hard way, but it helps me to keep my knowledge fresh because I know what other teams are doing just because I'm one of the even optional reviewers, but I still know what they're doing. And yeah, of course, as on every my talk, I suggest to read more, learn more. And thank you. And questions? And if you need the slides, they should be here.
All right, I think we have time for one or two questions. Oh, yeah. Are there any in the rooms? There's a hand up over there, and Tim.
Do you have advice for, a problem in almost every project at work or open source is there's not enough reviewers.
Oh yeah, we have the same problem. Yeah.
So I think about, and I wonder if you have some good tips, how do you encourage more people to do code reviews?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what we try to do in our team, we try to talk to people and say that software engineering, programming, is not only about writing code. Statistically, I learned that we more reading code than writing in our life career. So as early you understand it is better. So we try to communicate it to people and force them, like not force, but we try our best. Again, we tried two required reviewers, then we give up, switched one back because it was originally one. Yeah, that's all I have, sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
I see that one in the middle. It will be the last question.
Okay.
I was just wondering, what's your opinion on these new AI code reviewers and like, how do you think that that can sort of enhance or change?
Okay. So yeah, we can discuss it maybe during beer. I'm not big fan about AI, but I honestly try AI to do review. And I think this work, code review, can be replaced easily by AI. It's my strong opinion. We will see. So I tried, like there is Copilot, you can put it and it will suggest you, but it usually create more noise than value because AI need context. Review has very reduced context. I think model read like diff or whatever. So yeah, it did not work well, unfortunately. Yeah, but you can try and show me. Maybe tag me on Twitter. I will give it a try.
Right, we will have the break now, so you can ask the questions in the break. And before we have the break, one of the Pi ladies will shortly introduce. Do you have a microphone? Can we have the microphone for her? So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Applause for him.